Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
903 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number, we got, I don't know, our teams are, we got Urquidy and Yordan. I'm expecting big things out of Yordan, and he's not even there. How long will it take? Okay, which one will come back first, the hitters or the pitchers?
I don't think it will. I think it's just like baseball. Usually, yeah.
Pitchers will be harder.
Yeah, I think it's usually just like baseball is for pitchers, yeah.
Yeah, it'll take a pitcher longer.
Because you got to, you don't, even with spring, you don't have enough time to work out everything.
And you got to build up stamina, too.
Right.
More so that I know baseball is excruciatingly, you know, athletic and difficult to play, and you need the utmost to be in the utmost shape. However, yeah, and there's a lot of heavy pitchers too, but to throw 4 or 5 innings as a starter, man, Urquidy was my Cy Young candidate this year.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is a huge blow to the club.
He was only yours, though. Nobody else's Cy Young candidate.
Well, but I know, right? I mean, he was my Cy Young candidate, therefore, he probably wins.
If I'm a Houston athlete, I would ask that you never put outlandish predictions on me.
It's not maybe an outlandish prediction.
Maybe it works for LSU quarterbacks, but if Deshaun, 50 TDs, did not occur. Carlos Correa, was it?
50 homers.
Did it happen?
No, but it was he was close.
Has he even hit 50 homers since you made that prediction?
Yeah, he's hit 50 homers.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't played enough, has he?
Yes, he has.
When did you make that prediction?
3 years ago.
Are we sure he's played enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm a Houston professional athlete, I want no part of you predicting things for me.
In the last 3 years, Carlos Correa has hit, 45, 50, 66.
But you had
56.
Him 56. So just 6 over in the last 3 years, and you had him doing it in one season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel a little wrong there on that one?
45. No, 60.
Okay.
60 homers. So suck it, Dill.
Okay.
Sure. All right.
I'm the wrong one. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're wrong.
Yeah, clearly.
I predicted 50. He hit 60.
You predicted 50 for a year, season.
Not sure. Well, he's actually only played a full season. If you want to know the truth, no, he's played more than that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
So the other Gilbert tells us
what did he say?
James Harden. Now Complex Sports is saying James Harden has tested positive for coronavirus, but it's not on their, it's not on their Twitter feed. And I'm seeing, let me go to complex.com. I mean, you would think that would be one of the top stories, if not the top. That would be the top story.
It's on their it's on their Instagram, and it's the same source I gave you.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I'm trying to find that, if it's the same source. So, in other words, it's somebody, yeah.
Well, right. I mean, you can't trust that. It's just an instant. Whose is it?
I can't trust it, but I think it's probably accurate, or he would have already gone.
Well, right. But I'm not going to read an Instagram post that says James Harden has the coronavirus.
And you know how I know? Because this group said it, Elite Media Group, with 7,000 followers and no blue check mark. As we've heard from Twitter, you can't trust people that don't have blue check marks.
Well,
whenever you've tried to put out information, they go,
he doesn't have blue check mark.
What is this? What is this trash?
Well, he's just
it's
a
guy with a Pinocchio nose for Rob Manfred. And no blue check mark. We can't trust this.
Still don't believe that clowny stuff he was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Still don't believe it.
Well, we don't believe in clown. The clowny's going to Seattle. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Big lie.
All right. Okay. By the way, where is clowny?
Busy turning down offers. I mean,
he really
last
has
I heard. I don't know. He'll end up somewhere. I don't really want to see him with the Titans, to be honest with you. I don't know if the Titans are even a choice anymore. I know the Browns have been out there. I've heard the Raiders. I've heard some different teams, but I don't know. A lot of players.
Play for Vrabel?
There's some quality. Yeah, I would.
I think Vrabel, he liked Vrabel.
He was there. Now Vrabel may not be all in on him.
Or Vrabel wants him.
But if it's a 1-year deal, why would you not have Clowney?
No.
Because Clowney's one of these guys that I think you like having for a year. The question is, do I want to give him a bunch of guaranteed money? And now, Clowney, this is a buyer's market. Clowney cannot get what he wants. It's not possible. There's just not the money for it. So I don't know what's going to happen to Clowney. Clowney's going to take a Cam Newton deal. I mean, it's not going to be a Cam deal, but relative to what he wanted. Cam will, Clowney might get $10 million this year. He might, but then again, he might not. If he's been turning down other deals.
He'll get in that neighborhood. Yeah.
See, the thing for a quarterback, if you're a backup quarterback and you're making league minimum, he has a lot of stuff. Like Cam, at some point, I think the odds would be that Cam will take over in New England and he's going to make a lot more money. He's going to get his $700,000 from roster bonuses each week. If Cam takes over, he's going to make more money. There's no question. But Cam's money is not going to come this year. His is going to come if he proves himself this year. He'll get a contract for next year. But the amount of teams who need quarterbacks is starting to dwindle. Although the teams that need quarterbacks are going to be like the Steelers. Steelers are getting into the point where they need a quarterback. Jaguars, maybe.
Hey, in a couple of years, the quarterback class, I mean, we're going to have a glut of
young quarterbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, in the league.
Yeah, I think for the first time, there will be, like right now, we're kind of seeing it. You could say, well, we don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is the answer. Well, it doesn't matter. He's who they have in Carolina right now. Well, we don't know if Stidham's the answer. Well, he's a young quarterback who's going to get a shot, and that's where Cam – that's one of the only places we could come up with for Cam Newton. Once the Chargers drafted Herbert and they had Tyrod, I mean, Cam wasn't going to play probably for the Colts. They got Phillip Rivers. They're going to need a quarterback, obviously, long term.
I think Cam would have been a much better solution there.
They're really big in the football character, though. You got to be all on board. I mean, Quentin Nelson demands that if Cam wasn't all on board with being a worker and was really interested in putting his ascot on and doing his videos again, I just don't think that's what the Colts want.
Is that an issue that he's not a worker? I've never heard that.
I don't know. He hasn't been on the field.
He likes an ascot and he likes a nice hat and culottes. But
it's what I mean. Okay, so I should have said it like this, because it is kind of the same concern as New England. Honestly, they want you to be in on the team, like for football and winning a championship to be the most important thing to you. Now every team can say that. Some teams try to build a roster around that, and some teams just say that. But I think the Colts want to find guys like that. They loved Brissett. He just wasn't good enough. And Phillip Rivers has been good enough in the past, but probably not now. He's older. But Rivers is all about football. I mean, there's no other there's nothing else going on in Phillip Rivers' life except being a dad and playing football. That's about it. I don't know on Cam. I mean, Cam kind of started to develop a reputation of being a guy who was a good football player. I wouldn't say a great one. He had a great year, but he's not durable. And then the question becomes, and I heard this from a team, not the Colts, who said, I said, where do you think Cam ends up? He goes, he's kind of got a reputation where he puts himself first, where it's all about Cam, which I don't know what that means. But we'll see. I mean, there were no takers on the open market other than New England.
But there's not a lot of openings.
Not a lot of openings.
And it's going to get even worse over the next couple of years, as long as guys continue to play well. I think
But Breeze will be gone, right? In 3 years, Breeze will be gone. Will be Aaron Rodgers may be gone. Brady will be gone. Ben Roethlisberger will be gone. There will be some natural spots that open up.
Yep. And we'll see if Teddy Bridgewater's still there. We'll see what if Jarrett Stidham is still there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there will be places, no question. But we're going to have a lot of good quarterbacks coming out the next couple of years. There's guys out there.
Is Goff still the starter in L.A.?
We'll see.
In 2025?
Whether can they get out of him?
Or 2024?
The contracts that Les, he's almost O'Brien like the contracts he gives out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he killed them.
That was a bad one.
He killed them.
I mean, I was quick to give him that money.
Yeah. Time to talk about, if you want to talk about quick, what about the MMA? Oh, what about the MMA law firm? That's right. It's McClenny, Mosley, and Associates, MMA. They know
so
it has
nothing to do with choking people.
No, there's no choking out.
There's
of the
no
offices.
Strikes and you there's no
not,
leg kicks.
No, you will not get body slammed when you walk in the door.
I was hoping you put them on somebody.
No,
you'd be like, hey, these are the MMA lawyers. You want problems?
Look,
we can take care of this problem.
You don't think that the insurance firms aren't scared when you say the MMA law firm?
Maybe a figurative chokehold on an
insurance on an insurance company?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, they're like, holy crap, I'm going to get my ass handed to me now because the MMA is here. That happens all the time. Insurance companies get their asses handed to them because of the MMA law firm. They know you're dealing with enough, so they're going to front all the expenses. If they win, their payment will come from the recovery. There's nothing up front. No settlement, no fees. That's you know what? It's a guarantee. So if you're having any kind of issue with an insurance company, or you got dram shop, you got pharmaceutical law, you got medical devices, serious personal injury, 18-wheeler injury, all of these things, you get a free no-obligation consultation with their expert attorneys. It's largelossattorneys.com. LargeLossAttorneys.com. If you're dealing with an insurance company and you can't get what you want or you deserve, LargeLossAttorneys.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.916 ESPN 97.5. Did you see Deion Sanders' son committed to Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, Willie Taggart gets a high-profile kid out of Texas. I think he's a 4-star recruit. Going to play quarterback there for him.
He's going
to
play.
A four-star going to FAU.
Yeah. He's the 41st ranked prospect overall in the class. It's the first Florida Atlantic ESPN top 300 kid.
Yeah, some people believe, the cynical people among us believe, that is a package deal and you'll see Deion on staff sooner rather than later.
Ooh, I could see that because Deion's been big into coaching and stuff on the youth front.
Yeah, but the kid decided to go to FAU, and his dad will follow. Who knows? But that's a good get for Willie Taggart. Now, who knows when we see the kid? Maybe he starts as a freshman. Maybe he doesn't. But as far as a bell cow for that class, that's a good one.
Well, you know, NFL Network they're going to be making potential cuts too. So you could see somebody. I don't know what Deion's contract looks like, but maybe he gets out and goes somewhere where he's got a deal set up. Who knows? Maybe something like that does happen.
It is, well, I'll tell you what, it's good for Deion that he's African-American, because it ain't good being white in the business anymore. ESPN, there's an article today in the New York Times about the network's lack of diversity behind the scenes. Now, Golic and Wingo beat it, right?
Right.
Golic is going to do some college football games. I don't know what Wingo's deal is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Mike Golic Jr. is going to stay around. He's younger.
Yeah.
He's doing the midday show that they will have. You know, one of the guys that's coming in to do the morning show that I was surprised is Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
And I think Keyshawn was doing a show. No, I think Keyshawn was. What I was told is that they didn't really like him the first time around when he was on. So I was surprised they brought him back. And I know he was doing, I think, a show with Travis Rogers. in California morning radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. LZ Granderson, Keyshawn Johnson, and Travis Rogers. I think we're
Did
all
Travis
together.
Type out all of their everything they were going to say, too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Mornings with Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis was the name of the show. ESPN Los Angeles.
Travis, he wrote out every show, everything he was going to say.
Yeah, we saw him writing it.
Yeah.
While he would get prepared.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's what he did for
Jim Rome.
For Jim Rome. When he wrote, I saw Rome. I'll never forget going up to the Astrodome, the very first tour stop he came in. He was broadcasting for whatever reason from the Astrodome press box, doing his show from there. Like, that didn't make any sense during the day. And I got to look in, and he's got this piece of, I'd never seen, just, he was, his show was huge. It was the biggest show in Houston, and he didn't live in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It was the biggest show in Houston at that time. And like 97, 98, 97, whenever he came in, it was 97 actually, fall of 97. And I see him reading off of like three pages that were stapled, and he turned it to the other side, and he's reading, and I said, hey, Jim is, he would literally on the air said, stop reading your take. Have a take, don't suck, stop reading. I could tell he was reading his take. He was reading his whole monologue, and I was like, Santa? Tooth Fairy? What, this is it? As a young guy, I'm thinking, Jim Rome has all these funny things he says. They're all written, and then I find out Travis Rogers wrote them all. Like, does Jim do anything?
Nope. So back to this ESPN thing. Apparently, New York Times did a big piece on ESPN behind the people of color at ESPN are none too pleased that behind the scenes there's not much diversity. And Kevin Draper, I guess, who wrote the story, I've covered ESPN for 6 years and have never found employees as willing to talk as they were for this. I've also never encountered so much PR and executive pushback. It's almost like they were describing two different companies. Carrie Champion retweeted that and said, and therein lies the rub. Now, normally, Carrie Champion would not do that, and would not be able to do that because you would fear for your job because you're anti-Mickey here. You're saying there is a problem, and ESPN don't like people to know that there's problems going on there.
But we're all one team, Carrie.
Carrie's probably going to hear it. But she wasn't alone. There were more that were just, it's like no one is giving a rat's ass anymore. All I know is some of those black folks, this is from Xavier Pope. Is anybody, you know him?
No.
Okay. All I know is some of those black folks at ESPN were warned not to retweet or at me and privately told me so because of my controversial opinions in years past. So apparently that there was a little, we don't want none of that. We don't want you retweeting none of that. Well, here's the deal is I had a conversation with some guy who owns a business just the other day, Jason, and he was like, well, another guy, Brandon, was saying, you know, what is the deal now with, I tell my employees, you can have an opinion and you can tweet it out and you can also lose your job over it. And did Jemele Hill not lose her job because let's face it, the show was pretty political.
She ended up leaving. It was her and Michael
Smith.
She ended up leaving. I don't think she was fired. I think she legitimately left, but it was maybe a little bit mutual. But she ended up doing, she does stuff with, Ringer Undefeated? Or
I
both?
I don't know, but she will be producing the Colin Kaepernick documentary for ESPN. He hired her as one of the producers for it.
He did?
Yes.
And Michael Smith's just getting paid, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure where Michael
is. I don't know what happened to Michael Smith either.
Michael Smith, I think, just got paid.
Yeah, well.
And here, sit down and just take all this money.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing in this climate, though. I can tell you that. My buddy Adam Kaplan, he got paid for a year and a half. He even got a raise while his contract was expiring, and he has not been able to get back in for 3 years now. No. 2 years, there's nothing.
There's nothing there.
Nope. He is an ESPN insider.
Yeah.
For NFL, but there's nothing.
Well, yeah, and there's especially nothing for white folk.
Dale, what speculation?
I don't know. How do you rule that, Judge?
That's not speculative.
Frankly, there are just too many white people.
Yes.
I'll let him continue.
There's too many of you guys. You got to thin the herd.
I'm telling you, you don't want to be in the television or radio business and have your contract expiring right now.
And yeah, be expensive and white. Apparently, that's not a good
thing. It's not a good thing.
But Elisa, but if you work at ESPN, as long as you're cheap and work behind the scenes and white, you got a job, according to the employees.
Well, apparently they don't.
Not for long.
Well, everybody at ESPN apparently behind the scenes is white.
That's what I'm saying. If you're inexpensive and work behind the scenes and white, you got a job at ESPN. Right.
Inexpensive, you said.
Yes.
Inexpensive, yeah. Right. You could keep your job.
Yes.
If you're inexpensive. Absolutely.
And you're good.
Right.
You're good at your
job. Yeah, I don't think the list goes white, inexpensive, and then okay at your
first,
job.
I think it's very, it's highly, I think it's
well,
highly
no,
offensive.
Well, now you have to hire people. I mean,
oh, I'm not suggesting
but
yeah.
I think
don't
it's
have
highly offensive that to say that people who have their jobs for anyone, I'm not, you're not saying this, but for... If you have a job and you keep a job for a long time, it's probably because you're pretty good at it. You're either making people money or you're doing, yeah. Or you are, you know, you're bringing in ratings or you're making people money or you are creating content. You're good at your job.
Yeah.
You can be good at your job.
But the disconnect between what the executives believe and what the people in the building believe apparently is pretty evident. And you can just look at it's the prime example was now it was kind of a drop of a line in a podcast, but Ryan Russillo was on his podcast with Bill Simmons. Well, it was Bill Simmons' podcast. It was right after the protests exploded after the George Floyd murder, and he said Bill's done a kind of out of the blue when they were talking about the protests. Bill, you've done a wonderful job with diversity hires at the Ringer, and the Ringer union was like, "Excuse me,"
but in comparison to what Russillo was doing at ESPN, he probably thought this is. Multicultural mixing bowl.
And then now, since that moment, Bill Simmons has been raked over the coals, and you've seen at least the frontline hires, you've seen more African-American faces. I don't know about behind the scenes when it comes to producers and writers. I think they even because one of the big contentions was you cover multiple leagues that are predominantly black, and you don't have any black people covering it. So I don't know if he's changed that so far, but it's clear that what people on the front think, and as far as people in the back office think are different, and ESPN's having that problem too.
Mm-hmm. Art has this.
Oh, dude, we haven't even talked about the fact that Isa, Texas isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, right. It's there. Yeah. But they are changing the field name.
Named after?
Ricky.
Earl and Ricky.
Yep. Joel Jamail Field turns into Ricky Williams and Earl Campbell Field. And they're also erecting a statue of the first black letterman at Texas, as far as football is concerned. So they are.
I think that's good. I think that's a good
statue.
Combination. I think when you look at, I think it's pretty good. Yeah. I think that's good that they did that because that's a historic.
Well, now,
I mean,
some players have said they're not singing it anyway, though.
Yeah, it's. Does anyone really care?
No.
It's for the fans anyway.
Don't sing.
I don't think. I see a lot of players. I think a lot of players don't really even care about the whole college experience anyway or college atmosphere. You don't see – sometimes you see them all excited. And some players, if you're at a game, you can see it better. Mm. Or some are like, I have to run over to the fans or to the band to go sing and do stuff. I don't want to do this.
Right.
Okay.
Well, right. And at Ole Miss, you know, I don't want to be, you know, having to run through that Confederate flag.
Oh, that's different. That's not what I'm talking about.
I don't want any part of that college experience.
Yeah.
Okay, now sing the words. Rebels, rebels. Bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage.
What
rebels, like, these are terrible. This is a terrible school
song.
What
song is that? Keep everyone in bondage?
Do I have to sing this? You don't have to sing it anymore. Fine. Good. I don't want to sing this stupid song.
Yeah. That whole idea, I'll die just so I can keep my slaves. What? Dumbass.
But did you ever sing this song? So I went to school in Texas, and we sang. Now, there was lots of songs you sing as a kid. We learned Texas, our Texas, all hail the mighty state. Texas, our Texas, so wonderful, so great. We know all the words to the Texas song. I don't know if y'all had Illinois state history.
No.
Yeah. We had Texas history. I'm very proud of it. We had Texas history. It's fun.
It's different. Chicago is all about Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago and the rest
of
y'all.
Texas is about Texas.
Yeah. So then, you know, you also, as a kid, so we'd sing songs and, I don't know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you go to your choir class or whatever. It's mostly just to get kids. I realize now it's about herding kids into one room and giving teachers a chance to get out and just relax while one teacher has to handle like four classes at once and they all sing these songs. And we'd sing the She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes and all that stuff.
We you sang, did?
Yeah. We sang whatever, I don't know, whatever songs. But another one that I think I remember singing.
Deep in
I know
the heart
the song.
Of Texas?
Oh, yeah, we do that. Hmm. But I think I remember this one. Singing this. I don't know if I remember singing this or if I just know the song. I can't remember if I sang this. But you know the song, oh, way down south in the land of cotton, old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away. I got to stop because Dell can be recorded. And then it's look away.
Oh, it's already, everything's it's recorded.
It's recorded. And then,
look away, Dixieland.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't, just kid, you sing it, and you don't think anything like, oh, slavery was
early on, frosty morning, look away.
See, I don't even know all the lyrics. Maybe y'all did sing that.
We sang it.
Yeah. So okay, so you do know that?
No, well, I know it.
You know it. Maybe you didn't sing
it. Civil War, 1950 Civil War movies.
Right. Maybe that's what it is, but you hear it, you don't think anything about it. I went to school to Robert E. Lee whenever I was in, I went to Def Smith.
Did you sing the Bondage song there?
No. I didn't even know Robert E. Lee. Like, you just went to Robert E. Lee. You don't even think about it. There was, all the schools are named after mostly Texas history. There's a Crockett. I went to Crockett. I went to Jackson, Jackson Intermediate, Crockett Intermediate. There was a school called Bowie. There's Jane Long. There was Def Smith. There was
all good guys.
Robert E. Lee. There was, I don't know them all. I mean, I know some of them. I know
killing
a lot of
everybody.
Those names. But yeah, all the schools were named like that.
Yeah.
There's a Lee High School here.
Yeah.
That's now gone. Named. It's called.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wisdom.
Wisdom?
Knowledge is power. Yeah, it's called Wisdom.
I think I've got a new favorite song, to be honest with you.
What is it?
Like, some people are into Roddy Ricch right now. He's hot right now. Some people in this town may love Travis Scott or Megan Thee Stallion. I think I love this guy.
Rebels, rebels, bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody what? In bondage. Was that the old Miss song?
Mm-hmm.
That's the school song? Yes. Okay, when you get here, you need to go sing that to all the crowd. You're going to be by the band, and you're going to sing the school song. Get with somebody who will teach you the lyrics.
Right.
And then you sing it
for
the crowd.
First,
we're
going to run through the Confederate flag, and then we're going to sing the Rebel song. Okay? 931 ESPN.
And really make sure to hit the note when we say keep everyone in bondage. Make sure you hit that note.
In bondage.
In bondage.
Forevermore. Rebels!
Yeah.
Now beat Florida.
931 ESPN 97.
SEC is different now.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about Jason Peters just signed with the Eagles? $6 million, can make $6 million or so, but he's going to play right guard instead of left tackle. Brandon Brooks is out with
Achilles.
Oh, they
got Andre Dillard at left tackle.
Yeah, I thought they didn't like him much.
We'll find out how much they like him this year, maybe.
Well, so Brandon Brooks had tore his Achilles. He's done for the year.
So that's probably why they're having to do this. Because right. It would have been probably Jason Peters and Andre Dillard in his second year as a swing tackle. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Andre Dillard. Dillard will play left. You got Jason Peters playing guard. This will probably be it for Jason Peters, I would imagine, and then we'll find out if Andre Dillard can play.
We'll get an idea. It's not fair to just completely judge him this soon.
It's not fair for any player, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is... What am I looking at here? So, the... I don't want to talk about college football anymore. I want to talk about basketball for a second. The NBA season starts, what's the date on it? The 27th, right? Is that the official start date?
I thought it was like the 30th.
I think so.
Or am I getting baseball? Maybe it's baseball.
Baseball's earlier. Baseball is only 11 days away.
Is it just 11? Are they the 24th?
Yeah.
God, man, that's coming up.
Yeah. And the Astros apparently are heading to Kansas City for two games.
That kind of gets me excited. Everything has just been so on hold. I don't want to get excited about anything. 11 days feels
real. We're actually going to, yeah.
We're seeing Bregman hit a home run in a scrimmage. Like, that feels real.
Yeah, it is real. It is real.
Urquidy?
No, Urquidy's not real. He's fake. He's not coming. He's not going to be here.
Do we know the rotation?
There
I better go to Brian McTaggart.
There goes the Astros' chances of winning it all if you don't have your Cy Young Award pitcher or Keedy. Josh James still not there. Or Keedy still not there.
Josh.
I know.
And Urquidy.
Fromber's going to be in the rotation.
Well, whatever it takes.
I mean, Verlander, Greinke,
McCullers. McCullers looks pretty good on just the stuff he posts. I mean, it is what it is. But
and Verlander looks like he's...
Verlander looks great.
Yeah. Now, did you see Gerrit Cole? Apparently, he struck out like 9 straight guys.
Yeah,
He doesn't miss Stromy yet.
Well, wait until you get a real lineup and not the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a good thing on your inner squad scrimmage. That's fine.
Buster only broke every position broke down, and by position, who were the best players? He put DJ LeMahieu ahead of Altuve at second base. What a numbnuts.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah. He put LeMahieu. He had Yuli as the 7th best first baseman. I don't know where he had Correa and Bregman. That's all I saw. But DJ LeMahieu ahead. Who the hell would take DJ LeMahieu ahead of Jose Altuve? That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Well, that's stupid. There's no way you put anybody ahead of Altuve right now. Not objectively speaking.
No. There's zero chance. Do you think this Trump is going to be the logo for the Redskins?
I don't think that's
going to
be the logo.
It looks like it could be.
I don't think that's
going to be. Feels unlikely. Yeah, I saw it. It feels like an unlikely logo for the Redskins or the Washington team, excuse me, whatever they're going to be called.
The Orange Skins? It doesn't seem like that. That doesn't seem like they'll use that.
No.
When Dell went to school in Florida, did they sing Me So Horny?
I never went to school in Florida.
Oh.
Sorry to short circuit that joke, Art, but I never went to school in Florida. Huh.
Art has an unhealthy hatred for Greg Bailey.
Who does he hate more, Greg Bailey or Tyler Scott?
Ooh.
I guess Art can
Tyler
answer
Scott
for us.
Is our producer, Tyler.
Yes, who you will hear.
I don't know. Art, you're going to have to rank them, your hatred.
Yeah. Greg Bailey, Tyler Scott. Rank them. I know one thing they have in common.
Whitey. Whitey. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Yeah, I guess our big news yesterday was just that Russ has tested positive. James still isn't around, so we're all assuming, although there was some Instagram post by somebody that didn't...
We can't trust.
Yeah, that we don't even know who it was, said that it's confirmed that he has tested positive, but we don't know that. And then Urquidy and who else was put on injured reserve? Two Astros were put on injured reserve. Oh, Yordan. Urquidy and Yordan were put on injured reserve, which is a horrible thing.
I don't love that.
You got to have Yordan.
Yeah. Yordan is a non-starter. We don't start the season without Yordan. Baseball waits until Yordan's back. Urquidy, well, you know, next man up. Yordan, This is just not, baseball can't start until Jordan's ready. And frankly, until James is ready.
You don't think basketball can start until James is
no.
ready?
No.
No.
No. We keep it open until James is ready. What do you think Mike D'Antoni's thinking? Like, golly, man, I could have just got out of basketball. I didn't have to stick around for this. Everyone's ragging on me last year. Publicly, there's no vote of confidence from Tillman or anybody on the whole staff.
No. They
don't give me a contract. I got to deal with James.
Their negotiations
again.
Got ugly.
I know. Like, man, I didn't even have to be here for any of this. Now the season's lasting like forever.
I know. This is still last season.
Yes, it's still last season.
Holy crap. Where would we be in the playoffs? We'd be done. Oh, yeah, we'd be way done.
Yeah, the finals would have ended in
finals were June. Over. Finals were in June.
No,
right?
it's draft. It's NBA draft. It's we're agency. At the All-Star break in baseball right now.
Yeah.
We would be in this like the second wave of free agency right now.
This would be the All-Star. This would be the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Today would be the All-Star game, which is the slowest time. That's the slowest time in sports, and this is even slower.
Yeah.
And we don't even have an All-Star game.
Nope.
This is even slower than slowest time.
Well, you know what? That's not true. I can see who made the All-Star game for baseball reference in the simulated season.
No, I don't want to know who made. I don't care about the
season. Do you want to see if Carlos Correa got it going again? Because he was really struggling early in the year in this simulated season.
I don't want to do that. I do want to play your greatest hits, though. Like, you know those compilation albums that you hear?
Right.
I'm glad you're working so hard today, Dale. Right.
We can play that coming back.
Go ahead.
There's only a couple songs, but it's only a teaser for his full album, Songs of the South from Lance Erline.
He's already sang a couple.
I mean, I know, that's a teaser.
He did Brett Myers.
Brett Myers is going to drop a feature.
That's true. That's the EP. We got an EP from Lance, Songs from the South.
Songs from the South. That's coming your way next.
Sweet potato. 9:43. By the way, this isn't great. The Astros are 50-45. They're fourth in the division, behind by 7 games.
In the simulated season?
Yeah. They're 50-45.
Was there any trash can banging? No, is that why?
No, and right now they're out of the playoffs.
They're out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, they probably didn't have Verlander for a lot of that season. That's probably why. But now Verlander's back. They win the division.
And simulated Astros are not doing great.
Simulated Astros, it's not a thing, Lance. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
What's Carlos Correa's
Michael
average?
Brantley, I'll be honest with you, Michael Brantley's still having a great year.
Of course he is. He's a professional hitter.
He's hitting.
I'm going to miss him after this
Michael
year.
Brantley's hitting .379 right now. In 90, seriously, he started 70 games. He must have had an injury at some point. Jordan? 25 bombs, OPS of 935. Breggy, what the hell? Jose Altuve's hitting .308, but his OPS is .793.
That's not good.
That's not good at all.
No. Well, Springer, he doesn't have a buzzer anymore.
Carlos Correa, he still stinks. He's hitting .237 with an OPS of .720.
In the simulated season.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker just can't get it together. 93 strikeouts so far.
Oh, 93 in a half a season.
358 at bats. God, he sucks.
What the bleep? 9:44. Go to break. I'm so disgusted with the simulated season we're having.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Here's Dr. Bassetti, because he's the smartest doctor I've ever heard of.
Some Italian doctor who said, in the March and April, people were coming to the emergency room with the difficulty to manage the illness, and most of them need the oxygen and ventilation.
Now, in the past 4 weeks, patterns have a change, and there could be a lower viral load in the respiratory system, probably due to the genetic mutation in the virus.
What do you think is less offensive? That voice or the ultimate compilation, Lance Zierlein's EP, Songs of the South?
Lance Zierlein, his songs, Songs of the South.
You hover above, rain, hail below. Killing them hogs real nice and slow. I'm Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees. Put you on your ass. Ah!
Rebels, rebels, bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage.
Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away. He's the worst. You know what? The only reason he came into work today is to put together a laugh. It's on me for not for. It's on me for doing that, but it's on Dell for. This is the only reason he came to work. I wish you would have stayed in traffic.
I didn't tell you to sing those songs.
You've been sing-songy today.
I have been sing-songy. Well, you said the players won't have to sing the school songs, and I said most of them don't like to, and then you said something about the players running out of a Confederate, you know, like the little papers like you see in high school. Everyone running out of the, you know, a rebel standing over there with a Southern costume on, with the Confederacy costume, and they run out of a blowout doll between his legs. That's not how that happened. That's not happening to Port Neches, where they're running out of a tomahawk. It's possible.
If you want the full EP of Lance Zierlein's Songs of the South, just hit me up on Twitter. You hit me up.
Cash App, Venmo.
I'll give you my Venmo. You send me $10, you'll get
the full compilation.
Your full compilation, Lance Zierlein's Song of the South. Your Southern rock. Is it rock? What's your genre?
Rockabilly.
Your Southern rockabilly collection isn't complete until you have Lance Zierlein's Songs of the South.
I don't even know.
You are singy today.
Yeah.
Let's get Eric in here. Let's talk about school names. What do you say, Eric?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, yesterday I was in the gym. I'm calling in, weighing in about the names of high schools and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guy brought up. He said, well, people feel a little different if you had a high school in Texas named Osama bin Laden. And I looked up at him and I told him I never really thought much about it. And he goes, yeah, people feel a little different about it. He said, so you're going to have Native Americans. They feel a little different about the mascot. You have African Americans, they're going to feel a little different about Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson. I mean, you got people all over the board.
Absolutely. We heard last week, Eric, from people who are dead set on not changing that Indian name. It ain't going nowhere.
You mean Poor Nature's Grove?
Yeah.
Well, their whole, because it's a small community.
Yeah.
So their whole community is built around their identity.
Yeah.
Which is someone else's identity.
Well, but it's.
Just in an ironic sense, it's someone else's identity.
Right. Yeah. It's a bunch of white people being Indians. Right.
Yeah. Right. Hey.
Ironically.
We'll have some white student throw on a headdress and dance around with his rain dance. But you know what? It really represents us.
Oh, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I grew up familiar with the school and their tradition. Matter of fact, my mom loves it. And I can understand the community being upset. I'm kind of like in the middle on that issue because I didn't attend the school. I know they have a lot of community and school pride about it. And I'm not a Native American, so I can't really tell you the ins and outs. How they feel about it.
Right.
I mean, I wish I could give you more, but I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm not going to lie to anybody. I can't pull a red wagon from one side, not the other.
Yeah, like with anything, I mean, for some people, it's not going to make any, not going to matter at all. Like, it's just, you know, it's just a name, it's just a logo, whatever. And then for other people, they'll be, and of course, as we have with everybody, there's, you know, a growing group of people who have to be offended for you. Like, well, I'm going to be offended for them because if they don't speak up, and this is a very general sense. We know that there's a lot of people right now who they make it their duty to get to jump in the mix.
Well, but there is this, is that if I'm African American, I can certainly feel for the Native Americans too, because we're dealing with a lot of that same stuff. You know, we want to I can't be hypocritical. I care just about Black Lives Matter, and I don't care about anyone else who's oppressed. You know, so there is that as well.
Well, you could. Well, anyone could care about just themselves. Anybody could do that.
Well, right, but is that being hypocritical? Well, you know, that's all you care about is that. Okay, well, make sure that Black Lives Matter, but nobody else does. I mean, if somebody else is being oppressed, I would think if you are for them.
Yeah, if we as a society.
This is what a lot of the Jewish players have said about what DeSean Jackson said. Hey, wait a minute.
Right. That's one of the big talking points is, hey, this is, I thought we were doing.
Right.
I thought we were working towards a society that is this. We all need to be pulling together on everything.
Right.
Yeah, that was the big concern, I know, with a lot of Jewish players and Jewish leaders.
Right.
Regarding DeSean Jackson. And I think it's viable. If you want to work towards equality, then you work towards equality for all. What's a really weird thing, and this isn't political, this is just societal. It is a strange time to want and call for diversity, which we all should, which has been a thing for a long time now. But to champion diversity, which most of us do, is one of the reasons that I love the city of Houston, is it's just diverse culturally. But then there's more separating than I've seen in the past. Like, there's more, okay, this is this, and let's get in our groups and let's separate into, let's not cross over, and let's not, because that usually, to cross over and to truly be diverse takes, you know, it takes listening, it takes empathy for other groups, and it takes, you know what I mean, that you want to work together and have a collective ideology that includes a lot of people and be all inclusive. And yet a lot of the things we see are more exclusive and separating, and it's just a weird dynamic that I've been thinking about for a little bit, is that we see, and it runs contrary to my life, has all been sports. Like, everything has been sports since the time I was young. My dad was a coach starting early on, and I love sports, and so everything that was cool about sports is, and my dad was a coach at U of H, who, they're the first team in the Southwest Conference to really have a primarily black roster. It was an unusual thing. You'd hear kind of little slurs and things like that. And when I was young at school, my parents warned me about that, and it was kind of a strange thing. And when Houston came into the conference in like 76, that was, I remember historically, you know, people talking about, that was a big deal for Houston to have a black quarterback in 76 and to have a primarily black, or only black quarterbacks, and have primarily black players on the roster, majority black. That was a big, big deal at that particular time. And one of the things I've always been around is that sports has been the thing that has really brought people from different neighborhoods and socioeconomic and groups together. And I experienced that in high school. I was very happy and lucky to experience that and have friends to this day who are different than me and learn about from them culturally and celebrate our differences, you know, just on the bus having conversations about, why do you like this girl? Why do you like that girl? You like that kind of booty? You like this kind of booty? You like this and this? And then, you know, spending times in other guys' neighborhoods and them and mine. And now it seems like I worry that we're getting away from that. And you're like, okay, just separate and let's do it that way instead of celebrating culturally and learning from other people. But mm-hmm. Sports has always been that area where guys kind of come together. I hope it can still be that. I think it will. I have confidence because you're all pulling towards a common goal, and the BS has to go out the door typically. Once it's time to get something done as a group and you have to work towards something, all the other stuff that you see and hear from social media that can be kind of phony and fake, that all has to go out the window.
Yep.
You can't be great together.
You know what's real right now? Baseball at Constellation Energy. The Constellation Energy League continues this week at Constellation Field. You can see professional baseball live and in person tonight. Tonight, as a matter of fact, the game is going to be on AT&T Sportsnet at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah. If you can't be there, you can watch it on AT&T Sportsnet. You can see league games 5 days a week now through August. Major League canceled all their minor leagues this summer, but the Skeeters, with the help of Roger Clemens, formed a new 14 league to put live baseball back on the field. And these guys are good. 21 players have already reached the big leagues. 13 are former first-round picks. Team Texas, managed by Kobe and Roger Clemens, has a roster full of Texas kids. You can enjoy the minor league atmosphere, one of the nicest ballparks in the country. Social distancing allows for 2,000 fans a night, and the ballpark is thoroughly sanitized for each game. Fireworks every Friday night, giveaways every Saturday and Sunday. Tickets start at just $9. Just $9. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com for more information. Again, a game tonight, 7 o'clock at Constellation Field. You can watch it on AT&T Sportsnet. But just $9 to get in, SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.